of the day. Demonstrators numbering over 200,000 marched through the streets of Tel Aviv here the night of September 9, demanding new Israeli moves for peace in the Middle East on the eve of the Camp David summit, a huddle which Anwar Sadat, which actually brought together President Menachem Begin, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, together with U.S. President Carter. Compromise is not a dirty word, said one of the slogans unveiled at a city hall plaza rally. New settlements in the occupied West Bank, which they said is sabotaging the peace. I think I missed a line there. I've been up several nights now, and I think I'm showing the effect of it. Enemy shall try it again. Demonstrators numbering 200,000 marched through Tel Aviv. But there is a large laboring class of people in Israel that do not in any way agree with the more rigid Zionism that we often hear about. They marched through the streets on the 9th of September demanding new Israeli moves for peace in the Middle East on the eve of the Camp David summit huddle, which was to bring Premier Menachem Begin, right-wing Prime Minister of Israel, and Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, called a strong-arm leader ever since his referendum of a few months ago. Together also with U.S. President Carter, compromise is not a dirty word, said one of the slogans unveiled at a City Hall Plaza rally. New settlements, Plaza rally, yes, where speakers denounce the Begin government policy of erecting new settlements in the occupied West Bank, which they said is sabotaging the peace progress. Stand by. Have accused the summit meeting at Camp David in their first diversion from the Soviet-USA line that they've been following. They called the effort to bring peace a sellout. As you know, China has a very firm policy. The USSR agrees that the State of Israel certainly has the right to exist, but China denies that it has any right to exist at all. Striking Peruvian miners this week defied a government ultimatum to return to work or be fired, and a government newspaper reporter orders have gone out to shoot workers if necessary to control them. However, to those who have working class hearts, it has not in any way noticeably affected the striking Peruvian miners. It makes one proud to be a member of the working class. Continuing with the news. Citing recent military and political provocations by the government of the People's Republic of China against the Socialist Republic of Vietnam, a message was sent last week to Hanoi from the leadership of the Communist Party USA, assuring them that the increasing strength and influence of the socialist community, also the advances of newly independent countries and liberation movements, the growing strength of the working class and democratic forces will assure ever increasing support for the defeat of the aggression that we have seen these past decades. The wire, signed by Communist Party Chairman Henry Winston and General Secretary Gus Hall, was sent on the occasion of Vietnam's National Day, September 2, and was also the Vietnam Solidarity Day, called for by the Presidential Committee and on the Peace World Peace Council. Stand by. Attention. Continuing the news. As you know, I've been up several nights and days. I'm sorry if there's a little drugginess in my voice. As you know, I'm not drinking. Unfortunately, there would be no liquor about, if one wanted to drink. Chile's fascist military junta last week declared a state of siege at Chuquicamata, the world's biggest open-pit copper mine in northern Chile. We are glad that the song that touches our heart and turn it on after I finish, that has lifted our souls to know that man can reach the heights, that he does have a dimension above the animals. Victor Jara, let that be played after I finish the news. Anyway, the world's biggest open-pit copper mine in northern Chile, radio reports said a number of the mine's 10,000 miners had been arrested, and because of what was termed labor unrest, strikes are officially illegal in Chile, and yet the brave Chilean workers continue to strike. An estimated 20% of the labor force of Chile have continued to defy the fascist regime of Pinochet, who makes me feel guilt every time I think of the tax dollars I've paid that has gone out of monopoly capitalism to such evil regimes. The gentle regime of Dr. Marcos Allende, that taught me then, taught me well, there's no way you can trust those who say you can change the heart of the oppressor. It just doesn't work that way. Rare indeed. It might be possible in a few exceptions, but those who have the oppressive role will not give it up willingly. Anyway, we're proud to report that the Chilean workers have been fighting with such solidarity. The Chuquicamata mine is run by the state-owned copper corporation of mines, Codelco. Many of the miners are supporters of the now outlawed Christian Democratic Party of Chile. Early in August, the Codelco management fired six miners for asking for a wage raise. In response, 10,000 miners went on lunch pail strike. What interesting development taking place in South America, Bolivia and Ecuador and Peru and in Chile, is that those who are Marxist are forgetting all their damn silly ass differences as to whether they're Maoist or Leninist or what particular brand of interpretation they have of Marxist-Leninism. But all those who believe in liberation have got themselves together, and it certainly is taking a tremendous toll on the oppressor. Anyway, as I was saying, feeling was so strong that even the Pro Junta, Chilean Workers Union, ULTRAC, was compelled to come out and say the miners' action is a display of workers' frustration confronted by unresolved problems, and to deny the official junta explanation that it was all just the work of communists and agitators, banned politicians, and illegal trade union organizers. Social Democrats, Trotskyites, and communists and social democrats of all sorts were fighting side by side in this general strike. The Tucumata miners have known to be asking for 50% wage increase. They have received full support from the 12,000 copper miners at El Teniente mine. The situation in Costa Rica's banana plantation remains grave. That's just above Nicaragua, where the Somoza regime has been maintained ever since the U.S. Marines put the last fascist government in power, which was a little over 44 years, I guess, now that Somoza has maintained his ironclad dictatorship. Well, the situation in Costa Rica, so-called banana plantations, remains grave, said Rodrigo Paniagua, General Secretary of the General Confederation of Labor. Paniagua, speaking here last week, made it clear that the trouble is only partly in Costa Rica. U.S. corporations are also involved. Employers are refusing to recognize plantation workers' unions affiliated to the CGT, he said. Plantations are in an area, I missed something. The plantation workers are in an area where the U.S. firms Del Monte, Castle, and Cook and Standard Fruit, we all know of Standard Fruit and the toll it's taken of oppressed nations in Latin America, Standard Fruit and big investments in Paniagua, said the bosses are deliberately trying to provoke conflict in hopes that the government will intervene. However, our struggle is not against the government, but for trade union freedom and against company unions, he said. Continuing what little more there may be in the news that would be of vital importance today, I shall look here briefly and try to give you no more than you just need. I know your radio broadcasts don't always come in too clean and too clear, and I try to give you a little bit of it, being that I'm up all night anyway. Tel Aviv, capital of Israel. A Tel Aviv paper. The United States President and the Israeli Prime Minister have agreed on a plan that would leave the West Bank of the River Jordan under Israeli military control. The plan does not even hint at the reestablishment of Arab sovereignty over the area. Prime Minister Begin of Israel is refusing to agree, even in principle, to the Israeli withdrawal from the Arab territory. Many commentators, at least this commentator Sawyer on BBC, saw that the Near East could lead to nuclear war at any time. Little did we know that we might end up in the only world, part of the world, safe from nuclear holocaust, where our Geiger counters didn't even pick up any radiation at all. But we must do all, and remember to write the letters that you were asked to write, to support world peace. There is no future for man in an atomic holocaust. According to White House spokespersons, the Camp David summit conference will not end tomorrow. Reports say that the differences are still very great between the delegations. President Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Begin have had no direct meetings for over a week. There are plans in the Pentagon to start deploying neutron bombs, what the Army jokingly calls their nigger bomb, as we have heard said so cruelly before by the general that was in NATO, how easily such bombs could be dropped in U.S. cities, in ghettos, and there'd be no more problem for them. They could move our corpses out and just pick up even to the people of a pencil and a piece of paper. Nothing is damaged. Well, there are plans in the Pentagon to start deploying, that means placing, neutron weapons, according to BBC, in circumvention of the temporary plan on their production. Such deployment, such placement of these insidious neutron bombs could begin as early as next month. The Pentagon wants to take advantage. That's the military-industrial complex that rules the United States. That's why I have such guilt. I'd like to be at home with Daniel Ellsberg, who's going to begin. We just talked to him yesterday, but he's going to begin his jail sentence for putting his body on the railway tracks, keeping nuclear materials from coming in and out of a mine. We want to remember him with a lot of letters. We've invited him over. He needs to relax, but oh my God, how my soul desires to be in that struggle. I know how all of you feel about that. Anyway, the Pentagon wants to take advantage of new technological advances that make it possible to convert conventional weapons to neutron bombs. Who else but those who worship property above people would think of making a bomb that destroys only people and leaves all property untouched? So they want to find new ways to make neutron weapons with relatively little ease, and in this way they can start manufacturing the main components of neutron weapons for all those freedom-loving nations, quote-unquote, and I'm quoting Voice of the Netherlands, that are besieged. Some of the nations suggested were, hold your tongue, Rhodesia, where the Zimbabweans long ago were the rightful rulers, South Africa, Australia, and the European nations. We control now by any means possible. Seems to be that there's no subtlety anymore amongst capitalists. They just agree we're going to take over somebody's property and we're going to maintain it if we have to put a neutron bomb over you. The Soviet Prime Minister and Finnish Prime President are continuing discussions on relations between their two countries and other international problems also. In the... Stand by for a question. Who are continuing discussions on relations between their two countries and other international problems. In the course of the meeting, it was learned that Northern Europe be turned into a zone of peace like USSR and all nuclear powers, even China and USA, have called this area a zone of peace. They're also trying to add the Indian Ocean. So many of the Soviet scientists and American scientists feel that nuclear war is so certain, they don't talk when, they talk if rather, they talk when. We are also in one of those zones of peace. If that gives you any real satisfaction, it doesn't do much for me. Right now, they express satisfaction in the development of relations between their countries and discuss long-term cooperation between them. In an address to the Yugoslav people, Leonid Brezhnev, chairman of the Communist Party of SSSR, remember that's the way they would say it in Russian, USSR, said there is no weight need to explain to the people of Yugoslavia that war against fascism means blood, the blood jointly spilled in the great battle has forever made the people of the two countries akin. The memory of the exploit should live not only as a tribute of profound respect for all those who gave up their lives, but also for victory, the memory of the exploit and by the peoples of the Soviet Union, who should ever be repeated. The defense of peace is the defense of socialism, said the Yugoslav Prime Minister. Anyone would think that's reasonable enough. The last statement of the Prime Minister of Yugoslavia on the morning news when he was trying to iron out some differences between he and the USSR in that China had recently come through and made some attacks at Soviet hegemony. He said that the defense of peace is the defense of socialism, the defense of a bright future for all mankind. Said Tito, there can be no peace without some form of socialism. All right, continuing. We're getting closer to the end. I'm sure you're glad for that. You asked for the times of the news. I'm sorry to have to give them to you, but we go by vote. And this is the day it was morning. In Nicaragua, reporters say that dictator Somoza launched attacks against the country's second largest city, León. Eyewitnesses say that the city, defended by the patriotic Sandinista Liberation Front, has been subjected to missile and artillery fire of a sophisticated nature that had to come from the United States within the last 48 hours. I thought the United States these days were talking much about human rights and how they were going to uphold human rights, but I guess the message hasn't gotten over to the people under Somoza, who has held a bloody brutal dictatorship over the lives of the people for 44 years. Somoza has sent reinforcements to attack the refugees, to attack the city. Refugees report that the city's youth are joining the fight and, unfortunately, the Liberation Front is receiving broad support from the populace, fighting in the capital of Managua. The dictator, Somoza, is being supported by the United States, said even Costa Rica, and the most reactionary regimes of Latin America, who are sending mercenaries to Nicaragua. Who would you guess the most reactionary would be? Chile, of course. I guess U.S. is no longer even shamefaced about the kind of support she gives to nations that don't stand up for individual liberty. Remember, tonight we will have our classes. Let us be sure to be caught up on our Russian classes, I think it is tonight. Remember, as much as we can do, it's all by voluntary thought of the heart. The more we can produce our lands and please those that have participated in those rabbit or Mickey Mouse dolls, to do your best and as fast as possible, because we can already, by October 31, make $33,000. That would help us immensely, because we're having to live off reserves. You have no imagination what it costs to maintain this program. Just last week, I and some other administrators had to approve $57,000 of medical aid across that radio, because we are determined. I am absolutely determined that you will have always at your fingertips the very best of medicine. In fact, you can rest assured you've got better medicine than you have if you were living in most cities in the United States. American diplomatic activity has intensified in Nicaragua. Stand by. Question, please. Diplomatic activity has intensified in Nicaragua because of the crisis. The United States government is supposed to be supporting the sending of a fact-finding committee by the Organization of American States. Washington has called on the adversaries to agree on a ceasefire, but the American government has failed to criticize the Somoza regime in spite of the numbers of cruel massacres, even many of them school children, of the National Guard of Somoza's dictatorship. In a number of Nicaraguan cities, massacres have also taken place, and it's impossible to calculate the dead yet. At the same time, Venezuela and Panama plan to send in their air forces to Costa Rica in case of a direct attack by the Nicaraguan government. We're pleased, to say the least, since our recent guest who said he'd been in the CIA and had plans of blowing us away from the comfort of going back across the Venezuelan border. We're very glad to report that Venezuela has taken a decidedly third world course, and very independently and rightfully so proud of their own development. Also, we are grateful that a term of peace and friendship has been signed between Guyana, Suriname, Brazil, and Venezuela. So that at least is good news from our children's standpoint. Let's see if there's any last bit of news that should go across. I don't know. The situation in Costa Rica is getting serious, by the way. Venezuelan planes have been brought into the sector, and also Guyana, as you may know, has sent aid to that beleaguered country. Even as small as Guyana is, I'm always proud of the way she stands up when any third world nation is oppressed. when Belize had the conflict with Guatemala, they pledged, the Guyanese government, as you remember, pledged to send its entire Guyana Defense Force rather than see Belize lose any of its territory. The situation in Costa Rica will be more clear as the day goes on.